det er ikke helt sikker på egentlig.
Ok. Det skaper veldig rett å åpne.
Ja.
Ok, now we're back. Sorry about the technical problems. Seems like the stream is up and running again as well. Okay. I think I have to try to compress a little bit the last part of this lecture. I'm sorry about that. Some technical problems today. But now we're online. So these are different ways of collecting the information you need to perform the business impact analysis. As we already mentioned, you can do surveys, questionnaires of employees. You can do something called facilitated data gathering sessions that I'll come back to. You can look at all the different processes in your organization and try to figure out what is dependent on what. So a little bit like the diagram I showed you before the break. It's actually quite complex to do these types of interdependency studies. And then the risk assessment is a really good source of information. So if you've done that in parallel, or if you've done it before you do the business impact analysis, that's a good place to collect information. You can look into your system logs, look at your budget financial reports and different audit documentation. And production schedules is also a good way of figuring out what is most critical. So just quickly say something about the online questionnaires. It's really a convenient way of collecting data. You can get a lot of information in a short time, and you can get it structured in the way you want to. So it's easy, and it's a quick way of getting a lot of data. So it's a recommended way of doing it. But if you want to have more in-depth discussions and more, maybe you want to dig into the details of some of the answers, it's better to do it in data gathering sessions or focus groups where you interview people in groups. So you have a collection of people in the room, and probably or you hope to get the information you need from them. But it could be a problem that maybe one person is talking all the time, and maybe this is the team leader, team manager. In that case, you might not get the everyone's input. You might just get the team leader's input, and the others in the group might be a little bit afraid of saying their opinion. Maybe it gets boring for some of the participants. So it's really important to try to structure these sessions in a way. So have someone neutral as a facilitator, and try to get everyone to say something. And one way of doing that could be, for instance, to use like the post-it notes that we tried last lecture, that everyone gets a post-it note, and you have 3 minutes to put on your thoughts, and then everyone gets a turn at presenting what they were thinking about, just to make it a little bit structured. You can do that in different ways. And then it's the process flows and interdependency studies that is a bit more complex. You need to really know how things work to be able to do this, but it's a way of really getting into understanding your business processes. And you can find some things that are surprising or unintentional, and you can find things that you really need to pay attention to. It can be really a rather complex task, And it could be a problem that you don't have the right persons on the team that really understand how things interrelate and work together. But when you do business development or system development, you might have some diagrams already existing in the organization that you can reuse, which will be a good thing. This is an example of how you can do such an interdependency study. Look at your different processes and look at their recovery time objectives. So you have a recovery time objective of an overall process. It's this line. And then you look at what this process is depending on. So you have to look at the application recovery time, the infrastructure, the server it's running on, the database, and the data. And all this, in this example, this works well because all the different recovery times are less than the overall objective. And you can put these RTO times into the IT requirements documentation, or you can find them in there. But you might have a situation where you don't have this nice picture. So let's say that your process recovery time objective is 4 hours, if you say that each line is 1 hour, or 4 days. Let's say 4 hours. But then you have a problem because your application RTO is 8 hours. And also, even though the database is 2 hours, you need to first recover the server before you can recover the database. So you can't do these things simultaneously. So that's why this timeline is after. First you have the server, then you have the database, and then you can recover the data. So you have to also keep these things in mind. You can't do all the three things at the same time. So even though they are this is 3 hours, this is 2 hours, this is 1 hour, and you think that, okay, we have 4 hours, that should be enough. But then you have to do it one after the other, and then it will add up to 6 hours. And then you have a problem. So you can't really have this process RTO in this case, or you need to do something with your system's recovery plans. In this case, you make a gap analysis, and you put this into the risk register. And you need to you have then identified a new risk for your business, and you need to look at different ways of mitigating this risk. You could, for instance, spend more money on having redundant servers, or spend more money on doing different types of cloud services, or some other ways of recovering your data more quickly. So you develop something called a recovery profile, which specifies what is recovered in what time. And in case you outsource this, let's say to a cloud provider, you need to then put this into the SLAs of your agreements with your service providers. And this will give you some different recovery options, and this is then the part of the contingency strategy. So these are things that you should consider when you're looking at recovery options. You should not only think about, let's say, servers and databases. You need to look at your staff, your premises, your technology suppliers, your stakeholders, your customers, and you need to then put numbers on the different measures of downtime that you're using. For instance, the recovery time, or the mean downtime, or maximum tolerable downtime, sorry, and look at all the different aspects. And then when you do when you make the contingency strategy, you always have to look at the costs and the benefits. So you need to make a cost-benefit analysis. It might be like this, where you have, if you want to have very, very short disruption time, you might have to invest a lot to be able to fulfill this. You might have a lot of redundant systems. You might have to pay for expensive services, let's say like a DDoS protection service or something like that, that might be very expensive. But the more disruption you tolerate, the longer time you can actually feel that you're still delivering sufficient services, the less the cost of recovery will become. So it's an exercise where we try to find this optimum cost balance point. And that will, of course, depend on a lot of different factors. Since we're almost running out of time, I think I won't go into this whole list of different ways of technically or organizationally preventing and recovering. You can read about it in this NIST publication that I'm referring, and I put this also on the reading list. But I'm sure you know about some of these technical ways of being prepared, like having backup power supplies and things like that. Also, you can read in the book about different techniques used for backup and recovery. And I'm just mentioning that you have different ways of doing backups and having, for instance, third-party storage or mirroring disk-to-disk or other redundancy-based techniques. There's a chapter on that in the textbook that you can read. But these are some things that you should keep in mind when creating these plans. You have to ask yourself some questions when you create a contingency plan. It's important to identify how and who and put responsibilities so that when you're in the situation, you know who is responsible for doing what. So also to test the plans, you might have a really nice plan of recovering your data, but you actually should have tried it in a non-crisis situation. And you can become maybe a little bit surprised about how the format of the data looks when you're doing the data backup recovery. Maybe it's not as you had imagined. Might come out in a very different format that can be hard to work with if you don't know how to deal with it. And so testing the plan and actually doing some exercises is a very good thing. And then when you look at alternate site options, you have some definitions of different ways of having an alternate site. You can have a cold, warm, hot, mobile, mirrored. So a cold site, alternate site, means that it's not really, it's just a place where you can optionally set up a new office or a new server room or a new operation center, but it doesn't really have any hardware or network connections or anything. It might have a long setup time. A warm is like a medium setup time where you have partially equipped the premises. A hot alternate site means that it's just ready to be used. You can just move your people in there and start working from there. Maybe it's actually also being in use, like a different office that can take over your functions. Mobile means that you can set it up. It doesn't have to be in a fixed location. Mirrored means that it's actually up and running, and it's like you have two different server rooms with the same, everything is mirrored and it's the same, so if one goes down, it's seamless to switch over to the other. This is an example of how your backup and recovery strategy could look like. So you can have You can rate the impact level on low, moderate, high, critical, and then depending on impact level in your risk analysis or your business impact analysis, you will then put different types of priorities on the recovery, and then maybe use different options for backup and recovery. But it's very important that you consider your RTO when you choose your recovery options, because depending on if you tolerate downtime of months or days or hours, it's very different how you make your strategy. So if you want to have a recovery time objective less than a day, this requires a lot of more resources and more planning. Okay, so let's try the Kahoot quiz. Now that my network is up and running and we have 5 minutes left. It's only 5 questions, so say maybe we run a little bit over. I'm sorry about that. And as I told you, I have a nice prize for the winner today. So we'll see. Okay. So let's find it. Someone doesn't see the whole screen. I hope we can see the different options. Seems like the lower part of the screen is not showing. Okay, 18 players, is everyone in? Okay, or okay. Eighteen players. Nineteen players. So we have one player which is not in the room, or maybe one of you is playing with two different devices. I don't know. Doubling your chances. Should we start? Okay. 5 questions. Which of these are components of contingency planning? Remember, it can be one or more answers that are correct. And your points depend on timing. So the faster you are to respond, the more points you get. Everything's correct, so this is an easy one. Admin is in the lead. Name 3 key downtime metrics. Wow, that's not bad. 12 of you remember all of them. Okay. HT is now in the lead. What is the intersection on this graph called? Mm-hmm. That's the cost balance point. Okay. Florian? Snow leading? What kind of analysis should be performed in this situation? That's the gap analysis. You have really good short-term memory, that's very good. So this is... okay, so Florian is now in the lead, aiming for the chocolate. But there's 1,000 points to be made in the last question, so everything can change. Are you prepared? What kind of backup technique would you choose for a mission critical system? Might be a little bit more difficult because I skipped the details on this slide. So if you want more details on this, you can read the chapter in the book. Remote journaling, only one person got this right, so I guess you hadn't read that chapter yet. Okay, let's see who won the chocolate. Trebox. Who is Trebox? On the stream? So unfortunately, I can't teleport the chocolate, so... I need to figure out another way of... I guess the runner-up should get them then, if Trebox is not willing to say... who that is. Okay, well then Florian, you as a runner-up will get the chocolate. Congratulations. And congratulations to the person on the online winning. Should come to class next time. You can rate your feeling. How are you feeling today? Are you ready for the project kickoff? So as I said, if you haven't found your group, try to find someone in the break. And think if you have a place for an extra person. At least I got one email from a first-year student taking this class that doesn't know anyone and wants to be part of a group. Yeah? They're not here. Okay, then you don't have to be in your own group, then we can find a solution and okay. So you will work online with them? Yeah. But then you need to be prepared to present your group results also. Okay. So see you again quarter past one. And then also my student assistant will be here and present himself for you, so you get to see him.